This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A special edition DVD of the 1986 film Blue Velvet is coming out next week. Film critic Owen Gleiberman of Entertainment Weekly described Blue Velvet as a masterpiece, arguably the real launching point of the new independent film movement. Director David Lynch fused the beauty and terror of dreams with the hypnotic storytelling excitement of a Hitchcock thriller. We're going to listen back to a 1994 interview with Lynch. He also made the films Eraserhead, The Elephant Man, Lost Highway, and Mulholland Drive, and the TV series Twin Peaks. Our interview was recorded after the publication of his book of photographs called Images. It included stills from his films, as well as other pictures that cataloged his visual obsessions. One chapter, called Organic Phenomenon, included a photo taken in a hospital basement of a cabinet with drawers marked amputated foot, gangrene, and kidney. There was also a photograph of a facial sore and another of a decapitated head from his film Eraserhead. I asked if there were body images or aspects of the body that disturbed him when he was young.
Since we're inside a body, there's a yearning to look at them and know them. And they exist in many shapes and forms, and they have such interesting textures. I think there's a lot to learn, like about proportion and repetition of shapes. A painting that works obeys certain rules, and those rules are at work in the way the body is put together as well.
Well, I want to connect this organic phenomena section of your book, Images, to the first movie that was actually theatrically released, Eraserhead, which really is one of the most unappetizing movies ever made, I think. The story is... What's that?
I don't know about that.
The story is about Henry, who gets his girlfriend pregnant, and their baby is this kind of braying creature. And I just want to play the scene where his girlfriend's mother corners Henry to see if he's the father and if he's been having sex with the daughter.
Henry, I asked you if you and Mary had sexual intercourse.
Well, I don't think that's any of your business.
Henry!
I'm sorry.
You're in very bad trouble if you won't cooperate.
Well, Mary?
Mother! Answer me.
I'm too nervous.
There's a baby. It's at the hospital.
Mom!
And you're the father.
But that's impossible. It's only...
Mother, they're still not sure it is a baby.
It's premature, but there's a baby.
Well, I think you were already a father when you made this movie. Was fatherhood disturbing to you?
Yes, it was.
What was disturbing about it?
Well, I was studying to be a painter and very keen on living the art life. And in the art life, the way I saw it then, it didn't have room for, a family life.
I'm wondering if the idea of a crying infant was almost incomprehensible to you, if you felt so far away from understanding an infant, if it seemed like a creature or an animal to you.
Well, Eraserhead's about, a couple of different things. And one of the things it's about is a family, but it could also be about other things. So I really love abstractions and things that maybe could be interpreted in different ways. So I don't really like to talk about the meaning so much. It's open for interpretation.
Eraserhead was your first theatrical released movie, and it became a midnight movie classic. Did you know anything about how to market a film? Did you know how to represent yourself to the film industry?
No, I knew nothing about... When I started making films, I knew nothing about film. And after Eraserhead was finished, after 5 years of working on it, I didn't know if anything would ever happen to the film, but Ben Barinholtz, who they call the grandfather of midnight films, he got Eraserhead for this his company Libra Films, and he told me, he said, "David, we're not going to spend one nickel on this picture. We're just going to open it in a theater and let it sit there. And this is a word-of-mouth picture." And he said, "If we hold on long enough, you know, one day the theater will be full." And that's exactly what happened. And those were the times when there were many theaters that had midnight shows. And it was beautiful because these were films that in today's world would, you know, come and go when something's allowed to only, you know, work or fail in one week's time. And so you'd see on the marquee Eraserhead year after year, and eventually you'd want to go see it.
My guest is film director David Lynch. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our 1994 interview with David Lynch, director of the films Eraserhead, The Elephant Man, Mulholland Drive, and Blue Velvet, which will be released on a special edition DVD next week.
Now, I want to talk to you about urban landscapes, which is another theme that runs through your new book, Images, and through several of your films.
Right.
In Eraserhead, for instance, there's always something dripping or rumbling in the background. I mean, the whole film is set against this grimy, abandoned urban decay. There seems to be two types of places that interest you most. One is the small, overtly cheerful, all-American town like Lumberton and Blue Velvet or like Twin Peaks. And the other is the decaying, abandoned industrial landscape like in Eraserhead. But even in Blue Velvet, the evil happens in the more urban part of town. You've actually lived in both locations, haven't you?
Right. You know, where you are now, Philadelphia is... I always say that Eraserhead is, you know, my Philadelphia story. And I came from smaller places in the Northwest. You know, I grew up there till I didn't move to the East Coast till I was 15. And when you come from someplace like that and see a place like Philadelphia or, you know, Brooklyn, New York, it has an impact, and it completely fascinated me. And I used to go around in Philadelphia and feel this strangeness, and it was so powerful and fantastic. It really did something to me.
Your interest in industrial settings. Mm-hmm. You know, urban decay. I mean, it's so apparent in a couple of your movies, Eraserhead, but also in Elephant Man. Elephant Man is set in the early days of industrialization in England, when there's just like soot and grime all over the city.
Right.
And could you talk a little bit about what kind of effect you wanted the city to have in Elephant Man? What kind of visceral effect you wanted it to have on the viewers?
Well, it was... because it was the Industrial Revolution going on at that time, and because the Elephant Man, you know, looked the way he looked, he was almost like a product of that. And and since I'm fascinated with smoke and fire and industry and all the things that happen in factories, it was just an opportunity, you know, at every point I could in the film to, you know, put something like that in. And that Mount St. Helena's eruption, when you see close-ups of the eruption, the smoke, the curls of the smoke, or like the curls of the smoke in an atomic bomb, look very much like the growths on the Elephant Man's body. There's some connection of the way a growth grows. It's just a slow motion version of an explosion, sort of. And I was, you know, it these textures and the sounds and all these things seemed right for that world that the Elephant Man came from.
No, I have to ask you a couple of questions about Blue Velvet.
Okay.
Was there something in particular that inspired the story?
Not really. The first two or three ideas were a neighborhood, kind of a green lawns with shadows, like lit at night from a light bulb, and red lips, and the color blue. And the song Blue Velvet, Bobby Vinton's version, influenced it a lot.
I've always wondered how you managed to take a Bobby Vinton record and turn it into a song about sexual fetishism.
Well, it's all in the lyrics there.
You think? Yeah,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah.
Did you hear it that way when you were young?
No. Sometimes the timing has to be correct. You hear something for years and nothing happens, and then one day you hear it connected with some other thought that may be happening, and something magical happens.
I just have one other body kind of question for you.
Okay.
And this is about the ear in Blue Velvet. In your film Blue Velvet, the plot is set in motion when Kyle MacLachlan discovers a decapitated ear in the grass. What makes this especially disturbing is not only the ants crawling through the ear, but also that some of the hair is still attached
mm-hmm.
to the ear. Could you talk at all about how that image came to you?
Well, I don't know exactly how it came, but it, Jeffrey, the ear is like a canal. It's like an opening, a little egress into another place. And it seemed like a perfect, it's like a ticket to another world that he finds. And, if he hadn't found it, you know, he would have kept on going home and that would have been the end of it. But the fascination with this, once found, drew him into something that he needed to discover and work through.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us about your work.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
Director David Lynch recorded in 1994. His 1986 film, Blue Velvet, will be released on a special edition DVD next week.